I'm too blessed to be stressed in Jesus' mighty name. Pastor Ricky.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Amen. Surviving the storm of stress. Brother Blue, before I start preaching, I don't think we've got anything coming from the house tonight. I think everything's coming from the monitors. So they're a little hot. And if you can just, if you're able to, can make a few adjustments that we've got some coming from the house and not so much. So give us just a moment to get that tweaked out tonight. But I hope you're making plans for or had made plans for Valentine's Day. Amen. You know, marriages are under an extreme assault in our country and in our world. And I want you to know that we in the church, we need to do everything we can to glorify marriage. Marriage getting attacked on all, and I say this, and I don't mean this in the wrong way, but I say this, but it's like the only people who want to get married now are gay people. I mean, the heterosexuals want to live together, but they don't want to get married. But, so we need to turn that around and get it, that there's a purpose and a good thing. Marriage is a good thing. Man and woman. Amen. I'm telling you, I was listening for that amen out there. Marriage is a wonderful thing. There are studies that show that those who are married are financially better off, or so much more healthier, so much more to life, overall life, than those who are single or those who do not marry. And this is not to condemn anyone. Listen, our church is open to whoever. Amen. And so it's very important that we magnify marriage, that we let people know that it's a wonderful thing. I love being married. I love my wife. She's not perfect. I'm not perfect, but we're perfect for each other. Amen. And there's just a slight ring up here, Brother Blue, if you can just pull the monitor back just a little bit. And we appreciate you guys back there in the sound booth and all of that. So if you're married, say amen. If you believe in marriage, maybe your partner's going on to be with the Lord, or maybe you're single and praying for a partner, just say amen anyway. Amen. God will meet. And by the way, if you're single, and there might be some watching my live stream, but if you're single, God is concerned about your marriage partner to come. And people like, well, I don't know what to do. You know, I'm single, and just pray. Ask God to bring that person into your life. And don't go looking for love in all the wrong places. Come on. Don't go looking for love in the bar. Don't go looking for love in an internet chat room. And don't go looking for love with somebody else's spouse either. Amen. God's got the right person for you. And so you just trust him to bring that in his timing. Amen. And people say, well, I'm looking for the right person, but why don't you be the right person? You know, the better you can. I'm going to say this. I don't know why I feel led to say it. I know they're still working on my microphone, so I'm going to give them a chance to do all that. But you need to, if you're looking for a spouse, you need to kind of, you know, up the deal a little bit, you know, learn, grow, make a little money, you know, do something, be attractive more than just, in particular, if you don't have physical looks. Amen. I'm going to move on now. Amen. But get a nice car and buy a house. You know, if you can't do that, then do something, be a great person of God in prayer. And I promise you, the Lord will meet that need. Amen. Have I gotten in enough trouble right now already? Alrighty. So I'm under a lot of stress right now talking about this. So I want us to survive the storm of stress. So why don't you turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. And I thought about preaching on marriage tonight. I thought about doing the six C's to a healthy marriage. I thought about preaching a sermon that I preach called When a Man Loves a Woman. And that sermon is based on Jacob. When a man, he loved Rachel, and he did three things. He waited for her, cause you know, he waited all those years. He worked for her, because he built something. And you know, I encourage young ladies, don't find a man that's not working. If he's unemployed and that might tell you something about the future. Jacob waited for her. They didn't just hop in the back seat of the car on the second date. They didn't get to third base, you know, after this 3 weeks. He waited 7 years before he consummated his relationship with her. He was 7 years. Did you hear me? 7. All right. He waited for her. I'll tell you something. There's something about sexual integrity that speaks volumes of your life and your future. He waited for her. He worked for her. And then the scripture says he worshiped with her. He led in worship. He was a man of God. He directed his family. And I tell you, when a man loves a woman, praise God, it's a beautiful thing. Amen. I might preach that tonight. No, I'm just kidding. Matthew chapter 7. And every time I think about that song, you know, Michael, who is the singer that sings that? When a man loves a woman, you know, who is it? No. You guys are way, way back there. I'm talking about in the 80s. Bolton, that's it. Michael Bolton, that's it. That's it. Come on, Generation X. When a man loves a woman, if you want to have a good date night, just put on Bolton. I forget his first name. Michael Bolton, that's right. I'm telling you, so the rest of you just go back to who'd you say it was? Otis Redding. Okay, what works for you? Whatever works. Oh my, isn't it good to have fun in church? Amen. And you don't have to be married to be content and to enjoy life. Amen. If you're single and happy and you're fulfilled, you know, that's all right too. Amen. The most important thing is that we're married to the Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hear, then we've been talking about the storms, surviving the storms of life. And therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. But it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Father, tonight, thank you, Lord, that we can survive the storms. And stress is one of the great storms of life. And God, we know that there's coming a day when we'll stress and worry no more. But God, till then, we have to learn to survive the storm of stress. Touch your servant as I preach this word tonight, and we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said, amen. And let's give our sound folks a big hand. They got it all situated. Amen. Sounds good. Have you ever gotten up in the morning and just had a strange premonition that it might be a bad day? Someone once described a few of the circumstances to kind of indicate if it's going to be a bad day. It's going to be a bad day when you wake up face down on the pavement. That's a bad day. When you call suicide prevention and they put you on hold. That's a bad day. When you're in your office and you see a 60 Minutes news team outside wanting to ask questions, that's a bad day. Now, it's a bad day when your birthday cake collapses from the weight of the candles. If you cut on the news and they show a shot of Wilson and they're telling you that these are the emergency routes out of your city, it's probably not going to be a very good day, okay? It's a bad day when your twin sister or twin brother forgets your birthday. It's a bad day when you're following a group of Hell's Angels down Raleigh Road Parkway and your horn malfunctions and you can't stop it from blowing. That's not going to be a good day. Everything I just said can be summed up in one word, stress. I mean, when you wake up and you realize you've been in a car wreck and you're looking at the pavement, stress is coming. You see, stress in one sense has become the end disease in America. One of the most popular phrases today is to say, I'm all stressed out. And I thought about this. Some people are all stressed out and have no place to go. Stress is called the silent killer. I know it's heart disease, but really the root is stress. Now, it can affect everybody and it can affect every vital organ of your body. Stress not only affects us mentally, it affects us spiritually, and it affects us physically. I understand that stress can cause hair loss and some forms of baldness. Stress can cause the, well, I'll put it to you like this. I was a pastor since I was 22, and also I drove a school bus for this, when I started pastoring, when this was Living Waters, in 96, I began to, this full-time pastorate, but I also drove a school bus to supplement my salary. My salary back then was $250 a week and the parsonage and utilities. That was my salary back then. And that to me was full-time back then. It ain't nothing like that now. Can I get a witness out? That was 20 years ago. How many of you know inflation has gone up? Everything's gone up. But back then, I drove a school bus for 8 years. I pastored here for 8 years, then I went to Kinston and also drove a bus, and about 35 years of age, all my hair turned gray. And people want to know, why did your hair turn gray so early? You figure it out. I was pastoring and I was driving a school bus. But I tell you something now, my hair ain't gray tonight, is it? You know why it's not gray? It's because I get baptized every month. Amen. I tell you, I have just blown this sermon all to pieces tonight. Oh, my goodness. But listen, it can affect your brain. It can cause temporary blindness, premature wrinkling, and even skin disorders such as acne or eczema on the face can be caused by stress. It can deteriorate muscles in the neck and shoulders. It can cause spasms to your heart. It can bring cardiovascular disease, hypertension, because it stimulates the release of fatty acids, which hardens the arteries. Now, I know that bad eating affects the heart greatly, but please don't underestimate stress. It does affect your blood pressure, and stress over time can affect your arteries. I was talking with a pastor friend of mine who Pastor Jerry would know if I were to call his name. I will not share his name publicly, but he is going through some stress at his church, and his church was going well until something began to happen. And then all of a sudden he started getting sick, and he went to the doctor in a certain city, and the doctor looked at his chart and looked at his medical record and looked at the last year of his life. He said, "I want to know what happened to you last May," or whatever the month was. And that was the month when everything started going bad in his church. Literally, and he had to take a medical sabbatical, and he's back in the church. But understand that stress can affect you physically. God don't want you to be all stressed up, stressed out, and no place to go. God don't want you carrying the burdens of life. Now, some people love stress. It's not so much stress. They love the attention of carrying a burden. They all the time got their shoulders drooped. Their face is long, and they can't ever rejoice. They can't ever celebrate, because if they're not stressed out and unhappy, you might not pay them any attention. There are people like that in the church. You will pray your heart out in deliverance, and next Sunday they're going to be the same way. You know why? Because the problem is really not stress. The problem is they just need an attention. And friend, that's not a good way to get attention. In fact, it brings stress to other people who love you. Come on now. Listen, we need to rejoice by choice. If you're a Christian and you know the Lord, I know these are tough times. I know these are trials. But there's joy in the midst of temptation. There's joy unspeakable. And full of glory, and the half has not been told. Somebody give him a stress praise relief right now. Lord, I praise you that I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Amen, somebody. We're going to survive the storm of stress, number one, because of God's provisions. Look, and we read from Matthew chapter 7, but go back to Matthew chapter 6 in your Bible, and he's going to have it on the overhead if we're able to. But remember the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, it's the Sermon to Mount. Really, when you follow those themes in those three chapters, it's the sermon that will cause you to mount. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. God wants us to mount up with wings as eagles. Amen. And if you go from Matthew 7, where he talks about the storm, you go to Matthew chapter 6, and he talks about worry. And I'm going to use tonight worry and stress interchangeably. So we can survive the storm of stress, number one, because of God's provisions. Look in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. If you're there, say amen. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than clothing? Now, what Jesus is talking about is that you don't have to stress out about your basic needs. Now, this scripture is not against planning. Now, there's some people who've taken this scripture to the wrong context, or not so much to the wrong context, but they have derived a conclusion here that is not intended. Because when you look at other scriptures, the Bible makes it clear that we need to plan for the future. We need to plan. When it says take no thought for your life, it's not telling you not to plan out your future and your life. It's talking about your basic needs, but we do need to plan for, we ought to plan. Luke chapter 14 verse 28 says, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient, to finish it. Proverbs chapter 6 says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, be wise, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. We are to be wise about our planning. We need to plan our retirement. We need to have some kind of plan for our college, children's college education. This church needs a plan. Our pastors talked about phase one, phase two, phase three. Should the Lord tarry, we're going somewhere. We're building our building fund. We're praying. We're winning souls. We've got a plan. We need to have a health plan for our bodies. I need to lose weight. I don't need to wait to the holidays. I don't need to wait to January the 1st. In fact, somebody says that their diet is they diet from Thanksgiving to Christmas, and from Christmas to Thanksgiving they eat anything they want. All right, did you catch that? Okay, so I'm on that diet from Christmas to Thanksgiving. I'm just going to eat whatever I want, and then from Thanksgiving to Christmas I'll cut back. So, but listen, we need to have a plan. Amen. Churches need to plan. Denominations need to plan. The government needs to plan. You need to plan. You need to plan as if you're going to live for the next 100 years, but you need to be ready to go should you go home tonight. Amen. In fact, if God were to call you home, right tonight, let's just say tonight, would your family have to scramble in the aftermath of your promotion? And let me explain something to you. And these are things that maybe you don't understand, because as pastors, we see this. It is very, very difficult when a death happens in a family in the best of circumstances. Amen? Sure it is. But when a death takes place and there's been no pre-planning, it makes a bad situation horrible. My father passed away unexpectedly. And I remember that we had not planned for him. He was 61 years old, and he had been sick and in and out of the hospital for the last 2 or 3 years of his life. And I remember that we had gone to the funeral home to see his body, and we came back, and I was sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden the phone rang, and we were told by the funeral home that unless we came up with like $1,800, $1,800, that they would not open the grave to put him in until we paid cash. And the funeral director, we had assumed, was going to pay all that, because Dad did have a life insurance policy. But because of all of the medical bills, we didn't have any cash flow. We had assets. We owned some property, things of that nature. So, I mean, we could go to the bank and borrow it very quickly. But can you imagine sitting there and you've just seen your dad in a casket, and you get a call, you got to come up with $18 cash, and we're not going to put him in the ground. Do you know that adds on to stress? Now, thank the Lord I had a family member, a cousin, who wrote a check and got it done. But I'm just saying, we do need to plan. See, one of the ways to survive the storm of stress is to do some things to avoid from having stress. That's why in family planning, sometimes you need to plan out. Am I going to have two or three children immediately? Because just think, there's a lot of stress with that. And so maybe if when you're married, you have one child and wait a few years, have a second child. And there's nothing wrong with that. Oh, my goodness, I have stepped over the line tonight. I have gone from preaching to meddling. Amen. I'm telling you, you just got to stretch. We got to have some plans. We got to have, but the everyday cares of life, once I've made proper plans, once I've been wise with my time and wise with my money, then quit stressing about it. Amen. When you've done all you can do and it doesn't turn out like it ought to be and things don't go just right. Just take church, for example. Every time the lights cut on this church, we've planned music, we've planned lessons, we've planned for people to be in certain spots, we've planned for our brothers to be in the sound booth, we've planned for singers, the pastor's planned a message, and I'm telling you that even in the best laid plans, we cut on the lights, something somewhere gonna go wrong. So just go ahead. I was telling somebody the other day, they were all stressed out about something. I said, let me tell you something. You need to factor. You don't need to get all stressed out when things don't go right on the job or things don't go right in the church. Because, yes, things were planned, but it didn't go quite as planned. And some things came up at the last minute and somebody was not able to do what they're supposed to do. And so you just need to let the peace of God rule. Amen. And when you come to church and you're a leader in the church or you're a singer in the church or you're a Sunday school teacher in the church and things don't go quite right, don't walk around here. Oh, my pastor, I got to have a meeting now. Blah, blah, blah. No. Calm down. The Lord's in control. He knew it was going to happen. And don't get mad at people, because let me tell you, get mad at people, they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Guess what? They're human. Just show them, just say, Lord, I have an opportunity to show that I can survive the storm of stress. Church can be stressful. Amen. I mean, sometimes it just happens. Don't have to give an example. And I could give about 350 right now. Amen. And that's just in the first church I pastored, not let alone the second or the third or the fourth or here. Amen. It just happens. Stress happens. It's how we respond to stress. Let's not be stressed up and stressed out. Listen, he's not talking about foresight. He's talking about foreboding. You know, it's nothing wrong to have foresight, but I tell you what, we need to quit having foreboding. He is going to take care of his church. He is going to take care of me if I go now or if I go 50 years from tonight. My planning will help. But regardless, in the best laid plans, God is still sovereign. He is on the throne. Can I get a witness? Can you say amen tonight? That root word for worry, we don't really know how to translate it from the Greek. It means really to divide, to divide. And a lot of translators translate it that... that take no thought for your life. The word take no thought could be translated, don't divide your life. And really what the meaning is that if you're not focused on God, you're going to be divided. You're going to be stressed. You're going to be flip-flopping, double-minded. Fix your mind. Take no thought. I know whom I have believed. I'm standing on the rock and I'm going to survive the storm of stress. Can I get a witness out there tonight? Amen. Stress divides our minds, our faith, our hope, and our trust. And so, look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 again. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Look at verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, neither do they gather in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Let me just break it down to you. So I'm working at Best Buy and I love my job and I thank God for it and He's provided for it but at Best Buy it is a little stressful sometimes. So I'm going to quit and find me another job. That boss I'm working with, guess what? When you find the next job, it's going to be stressful and you're going to have a boss. Hello? Now, there are times to change a job. Do good where you're at. Leave a job on a promotion kick, you know. Leave a job where they're like, oh, please don't leave. But if you turn in your resignation and the boss says, oh, I'm so glad. No. You don't want that to happen. Come on now. But let me put it to you like this. I'm working at Best Buy and I'm walking 6,000, 7,000 steps a day. I have a little Fitbit and I come home and I have walked 3.75 miles. I'm talking about walking back and forth and constantly on the move. And my wife the other day, she sent me a text and we have a little space heater in the living room. It's a little bitty space heater. And Darnell will use that and shut the living room door and we'll keep the rest of the house a little cooler because of gas. You know, we're trying to be wise about our finances. And so the cat had laid down in front of the heater and he didn't just lay down there. His underside was toward that heater. He looked like a half moon in front of that heater. So here I am walking up and down. It's cold in the storm, about to freeze. I got customers that are gone off on the deep end. Some of them mad, some of them crazy. I don't know. Managers that I'm just going. I'm just saying, Lord, thank you for my job. And man, it's stressful. And I look back and there's the cat laying in front of the heater. Yeah. But you know what? That cat ain't stressed out. That cat ain't worrying about what it's going to eat. That cat's comfortable. And I'm going to tell you something. In a sense, that's really the way we ought to be. While I'm at my job, my Heavenly Father's on the throne and He's taking care of things. While that cat's laying there, he ain't got to worry about it. His owner is working for him. Listen, if God clothes the grass of the field and if He takes care of the birds of the air, I'm telling you, if He can take care of my cat, correction, Darnell's cat, He'll take care of you. Give Him a hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. I'm going to survive the storm of stress. Now, God will take care of the bird. But let me tell you something. This doesn't mean that I shouldn't work. Let me tell you something. God gets no glory out of us being trying to live off somebody else's dime, not carrying our weight. God gets glory out of us doing our fair share. Amen. We heard that in the wrong way a few years ago. Fair share. But let me tell you something. We need to be productive. Well, if you're unemployed and you cannot find a job, then clean the house. Don't let me come to your house and you ain't worked in 5 weeks and there's dust this thick on the table. Okay, that's being lazy. You know, you can be productive. Show God that you're Lord have mercy, I'm about to... Come on now. You know, we got to take care of things. We got to take care of our home. Amen. Don't let the grass get up to be 8 inches high. If you can't cut it, ask God to help you find somebody to cut it for you or pay somebody to cut it. It's not a heaven or hell thing. We're not going to go to hell if we don't clean our home. We need to keep our home clean. Lord, forgive me. I'm just preaching to myself here. But me and my wife work. All right. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Our feet's on the floor. Amen. Till about 8 o'clock at night. And then we throw our feet up. And I ain't got time to dust no furniture then. But that's different because I've worked. Amen. I'm going to just put these notes up because I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere by these notes. We just got to live life, folks. Amen. We got to work. You know, God's going to feed the bird, but He does go out looking for the worm. Amen. He will give him the worm, but He ain't going to throw it down. The bird don't sit there and do this and open its beak and God just puts it right down there. No. He has to flap those wings. He has to cluck around. He's got to look and keep his eye. He's the early bird catches the worm. That means he's out and about. And I'll tell you that God honors thrift and he honors hard work. Clip some coupons. Quit complaining that gas is going high. Don't drive everywhere. I joke that when I went to New York City, it blew my mind. It blew my mind. They had to walk everywhere. I'm telling me that these new Yawkas, they would say, oh yeah, if you want to go over there, it's about 3 blocks that way. Do you know how long 3 blocks is, brother? You're talking about halfway down Tillman Road. I'm like, are you kidding me? In North Carolina, I drive the car to the mailbox. How many of you check your mailbox in the car? Come on now. I don't even want to get out of my car and walk down and check the mailbox. I want to drive it. But listen, there's nothing wrong with thrift. There's nothing wrong with exercise. There's nothing wrong with putting forth effort. But listen, when you've done all you can do and when you've put in those job applications and when you've worked at Best Buy 6,000 steps, go on and just don't worry about the rest of it because God's going to meet the need. Can you say amen? Amen. Has he done it for anybody other than me? God's not going to care for the animals. He's not going to care for my cat if he doesn't and not care for his people. Amen. God is concerned about your job situation. God wants you to have a good job. He cares about where you clock in on Monday. He cares about your take-home pay. And if you're over the age of retirement, there's something you can do. Amen. God will provide for you benefits, salary. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, your lifespan. There are some things we can do to shorten our days like bad eating, reckless driving, and stress. But ultimately, our future is in the hands of the Lord. And when you go to the future and bring the problems of the future into the present, all you do is mortgage the present to the future. All you're doing is borrowing trouble and worry, and it is the interest you pay on tomorrow's trouble. We need to be focused. Listen, I'm planning for a blessed future. I'm planning for God to meet my needs. I'm planning to send some children to college. So you don't have no children. I'm going to have children. Not if, but when. I was sitting in my office at the old Living Waters Parsonage on Flowers Drive. We had a parsonage when I came here. And it was an upstairs office. And I remember that my Bible fell open to Psalm 127. I believe it's 127. And it says, your wife will be a fruitful vine by the sides of your house. And your children, I don't know what it says. Your children shall call you blessed or something. I might have that. Let me read it. Is that all right? And I remember writing that. And it was 1998. Oh, I know what it says. You shall see your children's children. That's exactly what the Lord spoke to me. He said, you will see your children's children. Now, that was in 98. And Darn and I both were young in 98. We were, I should say, younger. All right. Please don't tell Darnell I said that. But I was, 20 years ago, this year. I just thought about that. 20 years ago. I've got it dated in one of my Bibles. It was down the road here in Wilson. You shall see your children's children. That's a promise God gave me. And Pastor Jarrett, I haven't seen it yet, but it's going to happen. At this point, it'll probably have to. I don't know that Darnell could physically get pregnant. She's beyond the years of being able to physically have children. Biological clock is over, but we don't know what God could do. He could, but probably at this point, it would probably be adoption. Either a small baby or somebody 9, 10, 11 years old. We don't know. But I know this. God's going to do it. Hello? And I'm not stressed about it. But I intend to send a child to college. And I've already got, unless something changes, it's going to probably be Holmes or Emmanuel. Amen. Because I'm Pentecostal Holiness. And I want them to go to a Pentecostal Holiness school. I was talking to my wife last night. We had this conversation. And I said, if I had had a son, No question, my son would have been a preacher. If I had a daughter, no question, she'd be in ministry. All my children, if God had given me physically born children, all of them were going to be in ministry full time. Darnell's like, well, you can't do that. I said, well, I don't have to do it. God's already done it. Well, you don't know. But listen, if I have a son and it's obvious that God is not going to, you know, he has another interest, I'm not going to make them do it. So please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm here to tell you that children that Ricky and Darnell Nims have 25 years from now, they're going to be preaching in some pulpit somewhere. They're going to be overseas somewhere in some country. They're going to be in ministry, singing in some group. They're going to be doing something. And you say, well, maybe God's going to use them at Firestone like our pastor. Maybe God's going to use them to be a lawyer. That'll be fine. If that happens, that'll be fine. But I'm telling you, unless God says something else, my children are going to be in the ministry. You know why? Because I'm in the ministry. And it takes... y'all look, help me tonight. Amen. So who knows what God has in store? He will call them. It has to be them. I'm not going to call them. I wouldn't wish any of my children to go through the hardships of pastoring. It's hard work. It's spiritual, physical. I wouldn't make them do it, but I just feel in my spirit. And let me get back to what I was going to say. God told me this. He said, you will see your children's children. So guess what? I can't die. Not anytime soon. Y'all still love me out there? Number one, I got to have a child. And number two, that child's got to grow up and have them a child. And then I might can check. Y'all just love God anyway tonight. Praise God, somebody. I'm not worried about it. God gave me a promise 20 years ago. He will fulfill it in his time. I would have already done it by now. But you know what? God knows better than I do. For some reason, we weren't able to do things the way we thought. It didn't come. Listen, just because God gives you, listen, when God gives you a promise, we assume how it's going to be fulfilled. That's where we get messed up. Listen, that promise will come to pass as sure as God is on the throne. If he promised it, notice I said the word, if he promised it, but you better just allow him to do it the way he wants to do it. And at the end, when it's finally done, you'll say, Lord, I'd have messed it up big time. But to God be the glory. I'm not stressing about this thing. Amen. If he says I'm going to build a church, I'm going to build a church because he does it. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to do my part. If he says I'm going to send children to college, I'm going to save and prepare and plan because I know he's going to do exactly what he's promised to do. I wish somebody would give the Lord a hand of praise because of his promise. Provision. Because of his provision. Now don't go out of here tonight and saying Brother Ricky's going to call his children to preach, because that's not what I said. I'm just telling you what I feel in my heart that my children are going to be unless the Lord says otherwise. Is that okay? All in favor say aye. I don't want to have to meet with the deacons tonight after service and get stressed out. Amen. I just have, that's just in my heart. Amen. And of course my heart could be wrong. It could be right. But his is never wrong. Amen. Amen. Number two. See, y'all just came in here for number two and we got refreshments. I believe, have we got refreshments tonight? What time do they start? Right now? Soon as what? All right. So don't worry because of God's provision. Say amen. How many of you believe God will provide? He'll provide for our future. Don't worry about, don't stress out because of God's promises. Say amen. One lady said, don't tell me that worry doesn't do any good. Most of the things I worry about never happen. Did you know worry and stress cannot change anything? I'm going to close with this. I'm just going to cut out all of this. But worry, I'm going to give you two things and I'm going to be done. Say after me. Raise your hand. Say after me. Say, I'm not going to stress out. All right. Kids, anybody school age and under, college age, Pastor Nate, raise your hand and the rest of your kids, raise your hand. Say, come on, say, I'm not going to stretch out. Stress out. Even when I have a math test. Y'all got quiet on me there. You need to study, but you don't need to stress out. Amen? I'm telling you. The Bible says, look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and verse 32. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 32. I look back over the stressful moments of my life. I mean, back. Just all of the, I just put them in my mind. Just under so much stress. I remember one time my dad passed away. My mother and father worked every day of their life. They got up 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning and went to work. They provided. But my daddy got sick and my mother couldn't work. And I remember after daddy died, what in the world are we going to do? We still had a mortgage on the main house and she couldn't pay the mortgage. And they had put her in bankruptcy. And I remember they said that on such and such a date, your home is going to be going to the auction. I said, where in the world is it going to be? It's going to be at the courthouse in Nashville, North Carolina, because we're in Nash County. And my mother and I got into my car, and we went to the Nashville courthouse. And it's weird. I didn't know this, but they were going to put it up for auction on the steps of the courthouse, literally on the steps. Is that what they do in Wilson? Okay, on the steps. You read out. So at 3 o'clock on such and such a day, and I'm telling you, I'm like, who in the world is going to buy our home and the other property we have? It's all gone. And I remember my mother and I said, Mama, stay here in the car. And over in the courthouse in Nashville, I walked up to the steps. It was like 5 minutes to three and nobody was there. And about 3 o'clock, nobody. And about three, I saw a car pull up about 3:05, and I saw this guy with a little attaché. He comes scurrying up, walked up to the steps, put down his attaché. I said, okay, here it goes. Somebody's getting ready to buy our home. How terrible is that? Stressful, don't you think? And the man, he started reading these legal words, has been discontinued, blah, 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 and shall not be, and blah, 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 blah. And he put his stuff up, was getting ready to leave. And I'm like, oh, what did you just say? The banks decided to work with the people, and they're not going to put it up for auction. I went back to my car. I said, Mama, you just saw God step down and rescue us. And 2 years later, she got married to a man with military retirement, Firestone retirement, and everything's paid for and everything's being built. My God is a way maker. And now my mama gives to the Westmoreland Church. Oh, somebody don't need to stress it tonight. Amen. Give him a hand of prayer. Stress, it's useless. Quit stressing it. I'm telling you, God swept down. I'll never forget that. As long as I live, God made a way where there seemed to be no way. Can you say amen tonight? Would you stand with me tonight? And this is what I'm going to leave you with. In Los Angeles, they have what's called smog. Has anybody ever heard of that? Has anybody been to Los Angeles during the smog and all that? Have you been there? How does it look out there? A haze? Wow. Don't you love Sims so much better? Amen. How many of you'd rather have Sims than Los Angeles? I'm telling you, it's great. The smog and come on in. I got something to say and I want y'all to hear it and then we'll dismiss. Don't stress it. Say amen. Turn around and tell somebody, don't stress it. All right, tell them this, because it ain't that much to worry about. Come on, tell them. Well, you don't know. You don't know, Brother Ricky. Let me tell you. You remember that smog that fills Los Angeles? Did you know that scientists have discovered that when you take the smog, all of this, now Los Angeles is huge, huge city, and it fills that whole city. And if you could take all that smog, and all it is water. All fog is water. You know that, don't you? The clouds is water. They have discovered that all the smog, all of the water that fills Los Angeles, if you took all of the water particles, it would be in about the water would only fill a mayonnaise jar. Turn around and tell somebody, what you worried about ain't that much. Come on. I know it fills your mind. I know it just fills your thoughts. I know that fog, you walk around in that fog, what am I going to do? How am I going to meet it? What am I going to do? Listen, it ain't nothing to worry about, because my God shall supply all of your needs. He is a prayer answering God, and you don't need to stress it. You don't need to pop some nerve pill unless you physically have to. You just need to pull out the gospel, and you need to realize it's nothing but just a mayonnaise bottle of problems. And my God, the one who rose from the dead, he numbers your hairs, he's numbered your days, and you are blessed and highly favored of God. You trust him, praise him, worship him, and I promise you, let's put the stress back on the devil. Amen. Let's stress him out for a little bit. You know how to stress him out? By not stressing when God has promised. Give him a hand of praise tonight, Pastor. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. I tell you what, when he hit that, Jesus is a waymaker, brought an old song to my mind. Amen. But my wife, she has prepared some things. She actually bought them. We've got some drinks and juices and some little sweets out there. It's Valentine's Day, and we invite you to stop by the coffee shop there and enjoy a treat on your way out. Amen. Give me that little F chord. Y'all can walk out anytime you want to. Well, one day the sun refused to shine in this dreary life of mine. I prayed both night and day that Jesus would make a way. Then Jesus heard my humble prayer. He answered me right then and there. One day he made a way for me. Sing it, church. I said, Jesus, he's the way maker. Jesus, he's the way maker. Jesus, he's the way maker. One day he made a way for me. When my life was dark and dreary, Jesus came and he answered my prayer. One day he made a way for me. Listen to me. Well, one day my life will surely end. I'll say farewell to friends.